Hello, good evening. Welcome back. It's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And we're walking on sunshine as it's absolutely baking out there. And we're just on the back of a Friday when Ascot, Goodwood and Newmarket were all on the same day. The best of the summer all jammed into one Friday. But it's all about the guineas this weekend, the Colts and then the fillies on the Saturday and the Sunday. But there's also a bit more Goodwood on the Saturday. And hey, let's go north for a bit as well and throw in Bathurst Hunt Cup, the most dangerously named race of the season. My name is Ross Briley and I've got shorts on. That's right, it's hot out there. It's the borderline of the spring slash summer. We're having a little bit of a mini heat wave, so let's hope we can find some hot selections and angles ahead of a big weekend. I mean, I say, of course, it is a big weekend of flat racing. As we speak, they're currently running a Grade 1 novice hurdle over at Punchestown. So look, there's always something for everyone in this great game. Let us know what you fancy about the weekend in the chat. We are live and interactive, so make sure you like and, of course, subscribe so that you know when we're going to come live into your living room or into your office or into, I don't know, your car, maybe? You might be sat on the toilet watching this. Who knows? Who knows? If you are, don't tell us. Anyway, as for the panel tonight, the man to my left, who is, well, looking youthful, it's Mr. Graham Rodway.
Yeah, I spent a bit of time down the Turkish on Wednesday. You know, they give you lovely haircut,
yeah,
shave, full hot towel massage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came out feeling like a new man.
Yeah, and ironically, if it's one person in the studio that looks Turkish, it's not you.
Well, I'm trying my best.
You are trying your best. We are on the cusp of silly season to a certain extent. It's there's a lot more horses, there's a lot more races. On the upside, it does take 60 seconds to watch a replay back rather than 5 minutes.
Yeah, someone sat in a meeting this morning and someone said, oh, have you got a view on the Punchestown Champion Hurdle? I'm like, what do you mean? It's the guineas tomorrow. But apparently Lossy Mouth's running somewhere today. So,
yeah, in 38 minutes.
Is that right? Yeah, so it is silly season, isn't it? You know, like, how can Lossy Mouth be running today? We run in the first classic of the season tomorrow. It's bizarre, but, you know, that's Irish jumps racing for you and it goes on forever.
It does, but what a week they'll be having. There's quite a few people on social media saying, look, you know, there's British punters moaning about it while we're having an absolutely cracking time over
in Ireland. I'm sure if you're there, it's probably fantastic. There's beautiful weather and good horses.
Proper festival.
Some weird results, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also some great performances, weren't they? Gaelic Warrior was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Here's a question for you. Where would what would Lossy Mouth do if she ran against the three-year-old fillies on Sunday? where would she finish?
Well, I got in terrible trouble with Joe Chambers, the you know, Rich Riches' racing manager, and when I was at Sandown on Saturday, he was like, what did you say about Lossy Mouth at Cheltenham? And so I'm not going to...
What did you say about... No, let's not go into it.
Yeah, we shouldn't go there, should we?
No.
So I can't be too disparaging about a claim. She would clearly win, wouldn't she?
Yeah, there you go. Mr. Tom Siegel, ready and raring to go ahead of a red hot summer. And again, like I said, Tom, your job is... Well, it's made slightly easier, like I said, by the fact that you can... Most races, you could probably just skip to the last furlong anyway, right?
I wish, Ross. No, it's a load of stuff going on, as you guys just pointed out. Really, it's really great stuff, isn't it? I'm just keep edging them to the wiki at the moment. You know, I'm not seeing it that well, and I keep getting LBW and edging them to the wiki. But it'll change. That's the way it goes. And we'll hopefully find some winners for you guys tonight for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's slightly. The harsher is saying it was some of the races are a bit of a guesser, aren't they? Mainly for fitness reasons. It seems, I felt like today in particular, when I start to go through today's cards and then tomorrow's cards, there's a lot of races where you think, that was a nice horse last year, but there's 200, 300 day absences to contend with. And that's what makes this time of year both incredibly exciting when you see a horse return off a break and bolt up, but incredibly difficult punting wise.
Yeah, it's very tricky punting wise this time of year because you just don't know. You know, the markets are so clued in, aren't they, that when we do them, when me and Rodders do them, and we're doing them now, the market will be totally different come the off, when the information is in the ether then, isn't it? You know, who's fit, who's not fit, how the race is going to be run, what's going to happen. We're sort of guessing at those sort of things. In the old days when there wasn't exchanges and stuff, bookies just put prices out there and we go, oh, that's the wrong price, we'll tip that. You know, nowadays it's a little bit more complicated than that, and it's certainly more difficult. But that's not to say you can't find winners, you know. You know, everyone seemed to find Sweet William. I didn't fancy Sweet William at all today, and he won, and so on and so forth. So it's just the same, isn't it? It's just about finding the fastest horse. This, as you point out, there's a few more variables that go in it at this stage, but c'est la vie, sometimes that works in your favour.
Anything that you are particularly looking forward to this weekend in terms of your favourite sort of races traditionally, or horses you've got in the dreaded tracker or anything like that?
No, I've said this, I've written this, and I've told you guys this many times. The two favourite races are the Hennessy, or Coral Gold Cup, or whatever it's now called, and the 2,000 Guineas, because it's just the start of good stuff. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's the start of good jump racing. It's the start of proper flat racing. Do you know what I mean? And I really, really enjoy those two races. They've always been my favourite two races. This year's Guineas is like, I don't know, as hard a race I've had to look at before, because I don't think there's anything that's very good in it. I might be proved wrong about that, but it's normally you're sitting there looking to try and either consolidate what happened last year or take on the one that you didn't think was overrated last year. I don't think anything's really that rated. You know, Boecho was a good horse, but this form's not great, is it?
Yeah.
And so we're all sort of guessing about the 2,000 Guineas. That makes it all the more interesting, because something will be good. Something will take a step forward for sure.
Yeah, you're right. There's no obvious flag bearer rodders, and there's also nothing's come out of the trial and blown anyone away. There's no sort of leading 2-year-old last year where everyone thought that's the one to beat for the Guineas. It's absolutely wide open. It reminds me of I can't remember who won it that year. Was it Poetic Flair's year a few years ago? There's been a few of it where you just think there's five or six that could win this, and then something that you didn't even fancy comes out and wins it.
Yeah, unfortunately, of course, the Dewhurst winner, Gawain's not with us anymore, and he would have been a big player, wouldn't he? So I was saying Poetic Flair, funnily enough, was the last horse to be beaten in the Dewhurst and then come on and win the Guineas. There's a good chance that could happen, isn't there? Because the three or four who were in it who were beaten in the Dewhurst, who also at times didn't look at home on the track that day. It's the most open Guineas, but it's great. I love this race, and I love the 1,000 Guineas. I love this time of year. Got the run up to the Derby,
yep.
Royal Ascot, and then after that, I think the flat tails off a little bit, and then I can put my feet up and chill out a little bit. But I do really love it all the way up to the Royal Ascot.
Yeah, it's full of promise and excitement, isn't it? Anyway, what do you like about the weekend? Hello to everyone on the chat, to Neil, to Si Tyson, to Graham, to Paul, and to Brian Galt as well. Good evening to you, sir, who says, hi, Ross, make sense of this flat racing, could you? We'll have a bloody good go, Brian. Let's start then on Saturday. In fact, just before we do that, did King Rasko win?
Yeah, it did, by a short head.
Fair enough. So it's another winner out of the...
Just clung on from Faye Bramley. Don't know the name of the horse, but I know the colours.
Lord Byron.
That's it.
There you go. Let's go to Goodwood, shall we, for a fillies listed race over 6 furlongs here, where Fitzella is 2-1 favourite, Zooming 4-1, Hasselay 9-2, Argentine Tango is 7s, Flowerhead 10s, Princess Petrol 10s, Hollywood Treasure is 12s, and Soul Love is 16-1. And I'm not going to say potentially clues towards the 1,000 Guineas necessarily, but Fitzella was right in amongst some of those very good fillies last year, rodders, and they've dabbled with 6, they've dabbled with 7, but I think it's fair to say that her pedigree suggests she's quick, and connections have probably quite rightly decided that she's a sprinter.
Yeah, probably. I tipped her in that Nell Gwynn. She travels really strongly out in front. She did the same in a race last season, and I thought, well, if she does stay, she might just get them at it. But yeah, she was beaten, wasn't she, coming down to the dip, really, going back to 6 furlongs. It's fast 6, though, isn't it? Goodwood, straight down the hill there.
Yeah.
So she will have to show all of her speed. And I don't think that the Nell Gwynn was the strongest of races, personally. The time was not fantastic, and it was quite a slow finish. So I will be taking on Fitzella for sure.
All right, and what will you be taking Fitzseller on with?
Well, when I was at Newmarket on Craven Day, Hasselet won a novice or maiden race there in a really, really impressive fashion. It wasn't a quick time, but the final sections of the race were rapid. Hasselet ran a 10.83 second last furlong. She actually ran the final two furlongs more than five lengths faster than anything else on that entire, any other winner on that entire card. And that was a good card, you know. The Craven Stakes was on it. And,
yeah, I'm trying to remind myself of who else won on that day. But
Yeah, it wasn't a bad day's racing, that's for sure. And I'm always, when you're there and you see all that's impressive, I'm always a little bit wary because I think when I'm there, am I being a bit biased here just as I saw it?
Yeah, yeah. And you get there's you know, I know a few commentators, and they often say, "Oh, I fancy this horse," and you're like, "Did you commentate on the card?" And they're like, "Yes." And if you do see it live, which is fine if you see everything live, I guess. Like if you're, I don't know, Ken Pitson, you're a paddock judge and you're there for lots of other meetings, and you can then, but yeah, it's possible that you're adding extra context because you were having a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. It's possible that I'm biased.
Yeah, yeah.
Nevertheless, I did come home and I did do the times on it, the sectional times, and she was really quick over the last two furlongs, and that's good enough for me in this race, I think.
All right, Hasselet then for Charlie Appleby and Connor Planners. What about you, Mr. Siegel? Anything up your street in this opener?
Not really. I thought Argentine Tango might have the best recent form. I thought that run in France was pretty good. Hasselet is the pedigree horse, isn't she? Her dam was second in the Guineas, I think, at Night and Thunder. And Zooming's from the stable that can't tain any losers, William Haggis, apart from Division, who probably should have won by 15. Should have won at Ascot today. So it was a tricky... look, sprints are not my thing. Filly sprints are definitely not my thing. Listed filly sprints are 100% not my thing. So I would only be guessing, but I think Zooming might win. I thought she showed some promise in the Newbury trial, which I think was better than the Newmarket one. And I think the Haggis stable going down, and she's got a very good record in this type of race, dropping horses back in trip and stuff. So Zooming would be my selection, but it's only it would only be a fleeting one.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that she's a big lass. She was, you know, there's a lot of size and scope there last year because she ran behind Splish Splash on debut, didn't she, in that at Haydock? And I think she's a really interesting horse, and I was a bit worried. I thought, Mahatha over sprints, and kind of, but Mahatha's had two horses run in black type sprints. They're Yama Bow there for Richard Spencer.
Yama be there.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's it. It's before my time. That
music yeah, right.
Through, I think, and a Big Mojo. So. He's had two horses running.
Very fast horse, Mahatha. I wouldn't worry about him dropping back. And he was incredibly quick. When he won the Sussex Stakes, he did some incredible sectionals last two furlongs. So I would think that would be a good thing rather than a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough. I mean, I'm inclined to agree now. As for the Cy Tyson says, totally agree, Rodders. I assume that's just with everything you've said?
Love that.
It's exactly that's what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't get many people who say that to me.
Yeah.
Was he not talking about the haircut?
Possibly. It could have been. I assume everything that Rodders has said since we've gone on, just he completely agrees. And like I said, that is a rarity.
Well, it is. I was at Sandown last night. A lovely fellow came up to me. He said, "Yeah, I love you on the shows. Whenever you're on there, I always turn off straight away." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, mate." Yeah.
That's all right. I'm going to just quick segue to the guy who... messaged me about when I was saying I'm about the column I've been writing, and shout out to Donnie Dave, who messaged me to say I've long been a fan of In the Know and the other racing shows too, but although I think you're a terrific host, you couldn't tip a wheelbarrow.
Lovely. So,
brilliant. I really like that he opened with the compliment though.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so there you go.
Going back to that race, Ross, it is worth pointing out that Zooming is in the Commonwealth Cup. For William Haggis to put her in there, it's quite a statement that he thinks she's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the likes of Montesib's the first one that comes to mind about dropping back from further to sprinting. I mean, he's doing it very quickly with Zooming. Took a few.
Sacred. She reminds me of Sacred. You remember Sacred?
Yeah.
Sort of seven furlong back to six. Never really did her fulfilled her potential, but was pretty good on a day.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, she get beat by Cardam in the Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so. Those were the days. Only a couple of years ago, really. Let's go over to Newmarket now for the 145 for a 10-runner at Sprint Handicap. An odds-on shot here in the shape of Double Rush, who is, like I said, 10-11 ahead of Addison Gray at 5s, Invictus Gold at 10s with Jack Ajaro and Cool Angel the same price, 12-1 Celeste Patterson, 20-1 Apollo One, Brian is 25-1, and you've also got El Bodon and Indian Run in the lineup as well. And yeah, Double Rush is very well in at the weights, and everyone's looking for group horses in handicaps, Tom, and I think the world and his wife knew this horse was going to bolt up last time out. Question is, can he do it again?
He most definitely can do it again, can't he? He's £8 well in. It just the only thing that slightly put me off. I mean, I know he ran very well after he won at Newmarket last year, but I thought that might have been his best performance last year when he won at Newmarket on his return, did he? No, he won at Wolverhampton, then went to Newmarket, if I remember. I can't remember, but whatever. I thought his form sort of tailed off a bit. So that's the only thing I'd have against him slightly, but I think he'll win. I think he's probably going to end up a group class horse against horses that we know what their level is. I think he'll win. Just keep it simple, but it's not a race. I would never back a handicap sprinter at odds on. It's just not my game. But if there was one to back, it would be him. I think he's probably a class above.
Yeah. I mean, at least on the upside, he pretty much has to go and do exactly what he did last time out. It's the same track, same trip, maybe slightly faster ground, but not by too much. So I do like, if I'm going to be backing a short price, I want to be backing a horse who has already done what I'm asking them to do.
Yeah, this is the race, I think last year, was won by More Thunder. Ram Ram, I think, was second, and third was Two Tribes, who went on to win, what, two big handicaps, didn't it? So it was a really hot race last season, and there's a little bit of the More Thunder about this Double Rush, isn't there?
Yep.
He has got the potential to go on and win group races. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I was there when he won. he was mightily impressive, and the time was by far the quickest on the card, and he left them for dead over the final few furlongs. He's £8 well in, due to go off 103 next time, and he's off 95. I mean, it's all there. The only thing, Ross, and I say this quite often about racing, it just looks too obvious.
When
it looks, usually in racing, I've seen enough races in my life to know that when it all looks too good to be true, it usually goes wrong.
Yeah.
And this horse has been odds on since Monday, since the entries came out. And, you know, something just says in the back of my mind, this surely must drift, because, you know, they can't have taken any money on it all week, odds on. People will back against him thinking there's got to be value against him. He must drift. But as Tom said many, many times and said earlier, you just don't know what the markets are going to do nowadays. It wouldn't surprise me if he went off 2-1 on and won.
Yeah.
So if he goes off 2-1 on, he will win, because the market just knows. And I like Tom's column actually earlier in the week, where he was talking about how the markets beforehand can often tell you how the race is going to be run. I actually said that to Barry Orr about 4 years ago on another show, and he was like, "What? You really think that happens?" And I was like, "Well, a lot of these front runners are getting backed, you know, before the race, Barry." And yeah, we'll see what happens. But if he gets a good pace to go, he'll probably win. But it's just too obvious, Ross.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I just watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to coin a phrase here. I've never said it before, never heard it before, don't know where it's come from, but if you didn't eat dinner, you don't want to do the washing up.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? There's a bit of that.
Yeah.
How's that,
brilliant,
Tom?
That's all superb. Absolutely superb. Genius.
So, yeah. So this 17 days later, this is very much doing the washing up if you're back in the
right.
Rush.
So what are you doing?
Well, I'm not doing the washing up. I didn't eat.
Oh, you're not doing nothing.
I said I didn't back him last time out.
Right, okay.
So I'm not getting involved now.
Right, okay,
I said, like, it's not my responsibility, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm stepping away.
Yeah.
You do the washing up. I didn't even eat the dinner. I've just come in from work.
Okay, right, got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Now I get it.
Yeah, okay. if you weren't there for the first one,
I'm glad you explained that, because it went over my head a little bit.
yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's borderline nonsense, but it kind of makes sense, as a lot of the things.
Robbers and Ross, what about the jockey change? Does that have any effect for you? I like Shane Foley, I think he's very good, but Oisin Murphy at Newmarket, I don't think there's anyone better.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's three things that would concern me slightly. One is the switching jockey, it is a jockey downgrade, because Oisin Murphy's the best jockey riding on the flat at the moment. So, of course, it's a jockey downgrade. The other thing would be that Is there a potential for the rivals of Double Rush to know what's coming, Tom, and therefore there's possibly a spoiler in there? And the other one is just a classic bounce factor. I know he won easily, but and the sprinters can back up quite quickly. But again, it's only 17 days later.
There's all that. I like those sort of theories, but then you got to find the one to back.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the one that I wanted to back against him. I suppose Addison Gray's the obvious one. But Double Rush is formed a lot, but he's going to have to run. Jack Ajaro could run well, couldn't he? He was really... I don't know where that came from last time. Totally different change of tactics, wasn't it?
The one that I thought, again, and if you think a form line's good, I do think Invictus Gold... He's a proper course horse, was a bit ring rusty, was kind of stuck out on the wing, and last year was beaten by Double Rush on his first start of the season at Newmarket, and then came out next time out and absolutely dotted up. So there's a potential that he could do a similar thing.
Absolutely. Just slightly worried if it got very quick for him, but yes, I agree with that entirely.
Yeah. But...
You're not talking me into doing the washing up or whatever.
No, fair enough. No. And for a race we've pretty much said is a sort of not a betting race for us. We had a go, didn't we?
We tried.
And some people will come on and say, when it bolts up, will say, you tried to get this horse beat, you know nothing. But I don't think we did. We just tried to point out a few potential pitfalls. Right. Let's go back to Goodwood, where there are always pitfalls, shall we? For the Conqueror Filly Stakes, a listed race over the mile. And how in God's name is this a listed race? This is an absolutely blinding lineup for a listed race, despite the small field. Blue Bolt is 5-4 favourite. She's Perfect is 2-1. Arasag is 7-1. Contiki 8-1. Never Let Her Go is 12-1. And Betty Clover 33-1. The outsider of the bunch. But Blue Bolt, She's Perfect, and Contiki were all very much involved in Group One action last year at Rodders. She's Perfect probably the most notable of the lot because. She didn't win a Group One over in France.
She was robbed, wasn't she? She's Perfect. She probably should have won that, I would have thought. But it's a great race, isn't it? It will come down to whose day it's going to be, Ross, won't it? It's a lot of them the first time out. You know, Blue Bolt is off a 200-odd day layoff. She's Perfect's not run since, nearly a year, isn't it? Contiki's been off for ages. We don't know what's going to happen in the market, but from what I've seen today, you know, She's Perfect's been quite weak, hasn't she? You know, she was a sort of challenging Blue Bolt for favouritism at one point earlier in this week and is now out to, 3-1, something like that.
Yep.
Blue Bolt's quite short, isn't she? So, I don't have a strong view in the race. It's a very, very difficult race to call, given that they're all coming off long layoffs. We don't know where they are in their preparations. But it is going to be a very informative race going forward, isn't it? No doubt about it. These are horses that are going to be competing at Royal Ascot in the top races there.
Won by Crimson Advocate last year. Of course, we went to Royal Ascot. It is a race that can throw up a bit of a shock. But, yeah, and like you said, a lot of these will have bigger targets in mind. Maybe not Arasaig, though. This is probably her... It's possibly her big day, Tom.
Absolutely. She's great at Goodwood, isn't she? Needs probably a strong pace. I thought she was a bit unlucky not to beat Jonquil in the Celebration Mile last year. And we saw Jonquil win today very easily at Ascot. At Goodwood, she's pretty dangerous. And she's had a run. So there is a chance she could be the one. I think Blue Bolt is the one to beat, but I thought 5-4 was pretty short. She's Perfect, I don't fancy, and I thought Contiki was very interesting. I think she's just as good a bred filly as you're going to get. Jane Chappell-Hyam is having a magnificent run of things at the moment, and Contiki would probably have been third or fourth in the coronation with any sort of luck. She won at York very easily. She cruised into the lead that day in a listed race and sort of went for home a furlong too soon and still held on. I think she'd have been third or fourth in the coronation. She could be top class. Her pedigree suggests she's got a chance of being top class on pedigree. So I'd looking at the prices, I'd take a chance on her at 8-1 for sure, because I think she's really good. Whether today, tomorrow is the day, who knows? But I think she's got the potential to be as good as any of them in that race, or probably better. So, you know, the market will tell us whether she's fancied or not tomorrow, but at 8-1 now, she would do for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I backed her on the way in. I looked off the train. She was 3 from 3 before going to Ascot. She was, like you said, she was held up last. She went past loads of horses, ran into the back of a few, down all the way down the inside rail. Also, look, you can make of this what you want, Tom, but the Dam race three made up ran 3 times at Goodwood, 2 wins and a close second. From the family of Jacinto, who was 2 from 2 at Goodwood. Night of Thunder, she's by Night of Thunder, bolted up at Goodwood. Again, I mean, I'm not, but she's bred to be a well-balanced Goodwood horse, and I don't know, I just liked it. And like you said, Changeable Homes horses are on fire at the moment. And crucially, she doesn't get the list of penalty. Everything looks perfect for her tomorrow. I thought she looked overpriced.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And the fact that she's coming here, because we all know Goodwood, tricky up and down track on her comeback, suggests that the trainer isn't worried about her, you know, there's no physical worries about her. She hasn't, you know what I mean? You wouldn't come here if you were anywhere worried about it. So that's another plus in her favour. But you can't, you know, never let go as a Royal Ascot winner. Did Betty Clover win? No, she was beating a short head in this last year, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So, you know, I agree with you. I think this is one of the most interesting races of the day, despite Punchestown and First Cunt Cups and all the stuff at Newmarket. I thought this was a really cracking race, and I think it's going to be a really good pointer for the season.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and like I said, I think Contiki will win a big race. Just a watching brief for you, Rodders, is it?
Yeah, I don't have a strong view. I think Blue Bolt's the most likely winner, but I wouldn't back her at the price, that's for sure. I'll be watching it and seeing what happens with a view to Royal Ascot.
All right, fair enough. Blue Bolt is a 5-4 shot. Let's have a look on the chat. Vibe says it's a very tricky race. Yep, you're right. Fair enough. But it's a good one.
It won't be tricky. Rodders, when Blue Bolt's 1-3 and wins by 6 lengths, it will be very, very simple.
Absolutely.
Possibly. But if Contiki wins, I might go. I'll be out for a Mai Tai, a mojito in a tiki bar. Is that what you drink in tiki bars? I don't know. Maybe.
Tiki's a river, isn't it? Don't you go down the river? Won't you be sailing your boat down the Contiki?
It's possible, yeah. It's possible. I might be swimming in it. I don't know. Who knows? Right, that's Goodwood. Back to Newmarket we go for the Suffolk Stakes. Bullet Point is 4-1 joint favourite here with Mr. Winston. Botanical 13-2. 7-1, The Lost King. 9-1, Fifth Column and Alcaraz. 10-1, Mahaba Gayath and Erzinjan. And then bigger prices, the likes of Fifth Column, The Lost King, who's been making hay while the sun hasn't been shining on the old weather. Al Arbeed for the Hannon team. Tycoon reopposing the favourite. Ancient Rome, who's got loads of duck eggs, but he's found plenty of trouble in good races. Thunder Wonder, who ran quite well last time out. And Astro King, who returns of a 658-day absence. The old boy. But there's been money for Bullet Point this morning, or this afternoon at least, challenging Mr. Winston for favouritism for the baby Cambridgeshire, the spring Cambridgeshire. But yeah, 9 furlongs here, a cracking little handicap. Tom, do you have anything to do with that Bullet Point move?
No, but I totally understand it. I mean, he's absolute cracking mile handicapper last year, wasn't he? And this trip shouldn't be a problem. Newmarket, no problem. Ground, no problem. Stable flying. Yeah, every reason to expect him to run a race. I mean, I tipped a horse called Leedman today in a handicap at Newmarket, came last. But I'm claiming the fifth because I thought it was going to be a massive pace burnout, and two of the front runners were pulled out. So it was nothing like I was expecting. This race, I'm expecting to be run really fast because I think Mr. Winston goes forward, Botanical goes forward. There's a few of them that like to go on. So I was looking for a... You know, I know Newmarket's a front runner's track, but I was hoping that Erzinjan might be the one to fly home. Now, he's an old boy, he's getting on, but he had to watch last year's Cambridgeshire to have a look at him. He must have won his side by 5 lengths. He's a pound higher here. He also ran an absolute blinder in the John Smith's Cup on his reappearance last year. I think the key to him is a strong pace and fast ground. If he gets it, I could see him winning it. Because I think on what he showed in the Cambridgeshire last year, he's got to be a well-handicapped horse over a pound higher, if only a pound higher, Martin. I mean, he'd be a lot of good horses on his side by five lengths. If the race had been run on this side, he'd be 10 pounds higher now. So I quite fancy him. Bullet Point has clearly got a good chance. He won his race on his side in the Hunt Cup. A lot's going for him. Botanical, if the ground is okay for him, I think all his previous trainers seem to think he needed soft ground, but, you know, ground schmound, he'll probably be fine. He's going to go forward. He's got a chance. And I thought those were the three, really. Bullet Point, Botanical and Erzid Jan were my three against the field. What about you, Rodders, with the haircut?
I half fancy one at a price here.
Go on then.
Al Arbeed.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got a chance. Tell me why.
Yeah. Well, last time at Musselburgh, the ground went against him. He ended up being on the soft side good. But he got outpaced at a crucial stage. He couldn't really keep up going around that sharp track. And he kept on quite tidily, I thought, inside the final couple of furlongs. He finished fourth fastest. He finished fifth, but he actually finished the race fourth fastest. So he's better than his finishing position at over the final section. That was seven furlongs. Now we're going up to a mile and one furlong. And Richard Hannon is going along quite nicely at the moment. I think he's somewhere around 15%, which for him is quite good because he has a lot of runners. And this horse ran a cracker at the course last season. His best run, actually, at the time. I think that might have been over seven. You might have to correct me. But
it was,
But yeah, it was a really good run. It was a big step up on what he'd shown previously. He finished third in a little conditions or novice race, one of those. But he was coming up against a decent field. And yeah, at a price, I think that ILRB could run really well. What can you add? What further points can you give me to make my confidence even stronger here, Ross?
Well, I mean, that must have been a race with loads of winners. And again, I mean, if that had been over a mile, he'd have gone... would have been far off winning it. I mean, he's bred to be a sprinter, but he finishes like a mile on. But again, that run last year, he was behind Pellatori, Anna Domini, Treble T was in behind, you know, really, really good horses. He then ran behind Amilok and was basically toe-to-toe with the Jersey winner Noble Champion at Goodwood. He then ran at Southall in a handicap won by First Principle, who bolted next time out. One place ahead of him was Dividend, who's been running in group races over at Maidan. He's running in really, really good races, and he's got one of those profiles where, you know, he's not been placed in any of them, but it looks worth a try. He's a big price for understandable reasons, but he's caught the eye too many times now to not think he's got a chance.
Yes, I can tell. You know him very well, don't you?
Yeah, well, I've backed him and I've backed Tycoon in this, who's another one who, again, if you think the form's good... You know, he was on his own down this near side when Mr. Winston went down the middle of the track last time out. He's a 10 furlong horse, and he was outpaced over a mile, and he stayed on up the hill. He's got the extra furlong. I think there's a possibility that Mr. Winston might do too much out in front, and he will benefit from it. Whereas last time out, Mr. Winston had the run of the race and had a lovely time on a solo over the other side of the track.
Although we mustn't, you know, procrastinate over how this race will be run for too long, because if we go on about how fast they're going to run it, you can guarantee that it will feed back to the jockeys and they'll all go really slow.
Yeah. Just to annoy us.
Yeah, I'm sure that they do it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping I've got the two things split in terms of Tycoon wants a little bit further, LRB's proven to have a little bit shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, LRB's a half-brother to a Ram-Ram, isn't he, we were talking about earlier. So he is bred to sprint, but he certainly shapes like he's going to stay, no doubt about it. Botanical was a big eye-catcher, I thought, in the Lincoln. He was out there in front, wasn't he, on his own, really. It was on the other side of the track as well. And he's only been selling Lion, who ran an absolute shocker, didn't he, in the Spring Mile next time out. And the second Rogue Thunder, or whatever it was, came out and ran awfully in that race.
That was a weird race.
I'm not saying that the form's bad, but I think probably more than likely they both had hard races at Doncaster and then were still feeling it in the Spring Cup or Mile or whatever they call it. But those were my two against the field, was Al-Arbeed and Botanical.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I was expecting to drop out the back of the telly, but he kept going quite well, Botanical, didn't he?
Can I throw in Ancient Rome as well? At a huge price, so we've nearly got the whole field covered. We do not fancy Fifth Column, clearly.
I don't think he's a... Well, I mean, genuinely, I don't fancy him. I think he'd just be in a I thought he's been a weak finisher, and they're going up a furlong, which surprises me. But anyway,
I think Ancient Rome's quite interesting. If you watch the Spring Cup again, and disagree with you slightly, Rodders, Rogue Diplomat ran really well. I think he was fourth or fifth in that race. He wasn't disgraced at all from a dodgy draw. But Ancient Rome never got a run up the rail. He was sometimes you watch these races and there's one horse that you just sort of see, oh my god, that horse just didn't even have a race. Now, we've said that about Ancient Rome a lot in his career, and he is seven. But on back form, he's got a chance off his current mark. And he did suggest at Newbury, like he was running into a bit of form, or he was in form.
Yeah, but you're right. But in the back of my mind, he is one of those, he catches the eye repeatedly.
One. Yeah, he's 25-1, though, isn't he?
That's true. But yeah, I'm back to Arbeed and Tycoon.
Now Arbeed and Botanical.
Yeah. And Tom?
I'm backed anything yet. I'll wait to see how the market goes, but I will back Erzid Jahn for sure.
All right, okay. For Terry Kent and Ray Dawson. On the chat, Viper Viper says, I like the angle of that tip by Rodders. Again, people are well on your side, aren't they?
Yeah, don't know what's happened.
It's the haircut. It's got to be the slick look.
Yeah.
It's definitely the haircut. Suddenly you look like you could sell ice to the Eskimos.
Yeah, suddenly people take me seriously. It's quite worrying, isn't it?
It is quite worrying, yeah. We've still got 25 minutes.
Yeah, we can put a stop to that, can't we?
Good turnaround. Right, let's go to North Yorkshire, shall we? For the Thirsk Hunt Cup over the mile. And a big field here, 14 of them lining up, and Seaforce is the 4-1 favourite. Again, William Haggis sending one up north, pretty much contractually obliged to go off favourite. But Blue RC is 5-1, Flight Plan is 6-1, City of Poets 6-1, Mersky 8-1, Bellagi 12-1, Dashing Darcy 12-1, and War Eagle 12-1, and bigger prices the rest. 14 of them line up here, Tom. And again, one of those races where you think, oh, big field, surely we're going to get a good clip to aim at. And then last year it was run at a crawl, and the first two basically sat on the speed and got the job done. And last year's winner, Flight Plan, actually comes back for another crack at the race for Carl Burke and Sam James. What did you make of this year's renewal?
Well, first thing I should say is I really should start reading Rotors, Rodders. I didn't know we were doing the Thirst Hunt Cup, so I'm a little bit in the dark about this one. But
it's on the telly, Tom. It's on the telly.
Oh, it is on the telly, yeah. Oh, I forgot to do it. I didn't even look at it for price-wise. Yeah, didn't have time for this one. I think that Secret Force, Blue RC and City of Poets are the ones that stand out for me. Now, they're all obvious, it's just my type of horses, slow improvers, not shown their hand yet. Which one of them wins, I don't know. I expect it'll be Seaforce because I think he's got the best draw in three while the other two are drawn wider.
All right, okay. Rollers.
Funnily enough, I didn't know this was on the running order either, but I do know. I didn't read the running order either. It's just first.
Well, can anyone read in this?
it's first on a Saturday, isn't it? You know, and there's Newmarket and Goodwood and all. And I'm like, Thirsk?
But it's the
doing Thirsk?
Hunt,
you sure?
Cup. The Thirsk Hunt Cup.
Luckily, I do know quite a few of these horses quite well because I do watch a bit of all-weather racing. I mean, Blue RC is an old favourite of mine. I've tipped him more times than I care to admit, and he has a habit of finishing second. He's a really frustrating horse. I remember him running and winning a race at Yarmouth one day last year, and he really blew my socks off. Yep. Coming from last to first off a slow pace, so putting up some really good sectionals, and I think after that he went for big money, didn't he, at the sales, and then I think he did,
they didn't sell.
I know they were trying to sell him. Yeah, I know they were trying to sell him for big money. Yeah. But he's a very consistent horse, and he's the sort of horse who should be suited better suited by turf than all weather because he's got a really good turn of speed.
Yeah.
The only problem is that Thirsk isn't always the easiest place to come from behind, as we saw in this race last year when Flight Pan won it making all.
Yeah.
I mean, Carl Burke is absolutely flying, and he couldn't have wished for a better draw, could he, for Flight Plan Again, if he was trying to emulate last season tactics out in two. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, sometimes you can get caught in the inside at first. I thought you were going to say. Yeah. I can tell by your face, because I know this stat.
It's not a stat. It's more that if I were to, I'd rather be drawn sort of 5 and 6, so you can make a beeline for the rail rather than be. There's just a potential, isn't there, where you kind of flip the coin a little bit and something else cuts you up from 5 or 6 if you're in 2, and suddenly you're like, oh, for God's sake, I'm stuck on the rail.
There is some weird stat about stall 1 at first, isn't there? Like it's got over a mile, I think it's got a terrible record.
It's
you always get buried on the inside there.
And it's one of those tracks whereby, they repeatedly sort of slingshot and come down the middle.
Mm.
And I think probably, again, it's like similar to what Tom said about York last year, I think, about where it's a rhythm, it's very much a rhythm track, a rhythm home straight. So if you do get stopped on the rail, if you lose half a length, 5 horses gain half a length on you before you can even blink.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's what happens to a lot of those in behind Flight Plan, because I think he could ping out. I think he could get round in front like he did last year. And he's well handicapped, isn't he? I mean, he won it last year off for marking the hundreds, I think, and he's down to 90-something here. So he's really well handicapped. So he's shown no form recently, but, Carl Burke's banging in winners left, right and centre, isn't he? So,
well, and also I often think if you own a horse and you win a big race, part of you have a crack at a couple of races, but then you go, should we just go for that race again next year? That's our target.
Yeah, that's our day.
The producer said, oh yes, of course, yeah, that's what, yeah, of course, yeah. That's not what he's talking about. What race?
Lossiemouth.
Lossiemouth is currently running.
Oh, so everyone's turned off to watch her, have they?
Possibly. Well, we'll give her. I'll call home the finish when they come around the bend, and I'll let you know what's going on.
You know, I just want to say that Lossiemouth has won now. She doesn't lose many, does she?
No, she's 1-3. To be fair, so you'd hope not. But we'll get to that in a second. Give us a shout when they're going around the home bend, will you, Sam? Thank you ever so much. What about? I feel like this might be a horse that Tom's tipped in the past. What about Dashing Darcy, Tom?
Definitely tipped this in the past when it ran at Haydock last year.
Yes.
Bit unlucky not to win. Yeah.
I think he's interesting. He's run 5 times left-handed round a bend, Dashing Darcy. First, second. And a bit unlucky, like you said, at Haydock. That could have been 4 wins in a second. Jeff Harker's run 2 horses in the past 2 weeks. Mudimer, who's an old boy who ran a binder, got beaten in a photo at Kattery. An horse called Powerful Glory ran at Pontefract the other day. Proper twicer. Popped headgear on it. Bolted up. I thought this horse won't win. You can put any headgear on it. Absolutely dotted up. He's off a nice mark. I think he's a big price, old Dashing Darcy.
Yeah, I mean, he's drawn wide, isn't he? But we've seen horses win. I remember one of the old boys, was it Radano, who runs in this? Didn't he win it 1 year from right on the outside? I can't remember. But
he
someone
did. Radano won it as an 8-year-old,
And wasn't he drawn right on the outside?
He was drawn 15, yep.
Yeah, and so it's not impossible. So, as you say, they can all get in each other's way up the inside. Just think C-Force is going to win, boringly.
All right, fair enough. Right, do you want to turn it for home at Punchestown?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they will be very shortly, anyway.
Yeah.
The problem is, I assume not even. Yeah, just a brief glance at the silks on everyone's wearing Rishi silks.
She is grey. She's grey, remember.
I forgot for a second.
Grey's jump better. Forget that.
Look, but with King Roscoe Grey not being a grey earlier on the card as well, I still don't trust my instincts.
Yeah, she's going to win. She's cruising.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. So, yes, she's turning. Willful's giving a challenge. I look behind.
That's all I've
got. As Lossiemouth. two finals to go. Ronners is calling it all over. Anzadam's plugging on. Back in the places. William Money's one pace. Willful is beaten. Coming to the
Golden
final.
Golden Ace is second.
Yeah. Coming to the final hurdle. She's absolutely dotted
Golden
up.
Ace. Who could have guessed? Lossiemouth beats Golden Ace.
Lossiemouth beats Golden Ace with what? William Money probably in third as well. Remarkable scenes. Lossiemouth, Gaelic Warrior. Who's your favourite, Tom? Out of the two?
Oh, Gaelic Warrior. Gaelic Warrior is something else, isn't he? I think. I mean, I like them both. They're both fantastic horses, aren't they? Yeah.
And as for... You're a grey.
Yeah, no.
She's come of age this year, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's been allowed to come of age, hasn't she? She's always been a great horse. But, you know, for some silly reason, they kept running in that silly mare's race and winning that every year. She could have won 3 champion Edwards if they wanted, but, you know, Willie Mullins was happy enough winning 50 mare's races, isn't he? So that's what she did.
I mean, to be fair, he would have won both of champion hurdles. She could have run in with State Man anyway.
So you can't blame him. But if I'd been Rich Ritchie, I think I'd been on the phone saying, what are we doing? Why are we wasting our time? I don't think Rich Ritchie has much of a say.
Well, look, you never know. You never know. But she's, she'll probably win next year, this week.
Well, anyway, it doesn't matter now because she's won champion hurdle. Gaelic Warriors won the Gold Cup and everything else, so Rich Ritchie's winning everything, isn't he? So there you go.
What I can guarantee you, Rodders, is the next time you go to Sandown, Joe Chambers is after you.
You basically, whatever you said at Cheltenham, you either repeated or made worse just then.
Oh dear.
So yeah, there you go. How to make friends and influence people, the Graham Rodway way, eh, Tom? The upside for you is you can say what you want, Tom, because you never go to the races, so no one ever confronts you.
Exactly. And if I do, I go incognito.
Yeah.
I've seen him at the races.
I'm trying to think. Do you wear a false moustache?
Yeah. Grow a little goatee and have go to the Turkish for a little trim.
Hot towel massage.
Yeah. Live on the show later in the year. Right, okay. Let's go back to Newmarket then for the Palace House Stakes. A fast 5 furlongs here, where S4 is 4-1 favourite. Rumstar is 11-2. Frost at Dawn 6-1. Quinault 15-2. Night Raider 8. JM Jungle 9. Ain't Nobody is 11-1. Chagrin is at 12. And then it is bigger prices the rest, including JM Jungle, who had a right old year last year. Cornwallis winner Beckford's Folly. William Haggis' First Instinct. Miss Attitude, who was very unlucky at Bath last time out. 6-year-old Washington Heights, who was strip fitter for that run last time. And Palace House, 5 furlong, Group 3 sprint. Nightmare Rodders, but in the best possible way.
No, I thought it was easy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Rumstar will win this.
Johnny Portman.
Yeah, it's his day, Ross.
It's his day.
You know, it's not as far as day, is it? You know, she'll be coming good in the Group 1s, won't she, later in the season? Maybe Royal Ascot. Rumstar showed his best form, didn't he, last season in this race when he won it, first time up. Mm-hmm. Didn't show much afterwards, but didn't run poorly. You know, ran in some good races, you know, group 2s and Group 1s and stuff like that without being quite good enough. I think that Johnny Portman knows the horse is probably shy Group 1 level, but he knows he can win this race, as he did last year, and he left this horse bang right, and Johnny Portman is flying, isn't he?
Oh, knocking him in. I mean, he's had 15 runners over the past 2 weeks, but 1, 2, 3, 4 of them went off very big prices, so I would consider not fancy. So let's say 11 runners. One disappointed at Wolverhampton, but the others have finished 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 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 1st, 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 1st. So if the horse is fancied, Johnny Portman's got it right at the moment.
Yeah, and it's his day.
It's his day.
It's just his day.
Yeah, and so what is there a downside?
No, because when it's the day, that's all that matters, isn't it? Don't matter about form, nothing else. It's just day.
Yeah.
All that matters.
It's all that matters.
He probably won't win another sprint all year. But tomorrow is his day.
2 from 2 over course and distance as well,
yeah,
with the Cornwallis.
Yeah, loves it. There's nothing more to be said. It's just day.
It's his day.
I think Rodders might be forgetting the Eclipse Day. I'm not sure if he was on Eclipse Day. He seems to go to racing a lot. But even I was on Eclipse Day last year. And Rumstar was mega impressive in that 5 furlong handicap. And I think the key to him is fast ground, uphill, strong pace, hold up. I think when he runs, when he's too keen or when he gets involved in the race too soon, he doesn't finish off his races. But at Sandown, he was mega impressive last year. And then if you go back to the Nunthorpe, he was unlucky not to win, I thought. He was really unlucky not to win. He was the first home of those drawn high. All the other ones were on the other side. If you remember the Nunthorpe meeting last year, had to be on the far side. He was drawn 14. He flew home to 5th. I think he can win a Grade 1, Group 1. Mm. I don't think it's... If the horses that do win Grade 1s over the years have won it, he can win one. and I think he'll win this tomorrow. I'm with you, Rodders. I think everything's right for him. I think he's got Knight Raider and Quinn Ultra on next door. The stable's going well. Ground is good, provided they don't overwater. I think he's going to win.
All right, there you go. Two for Rumstar. I mean, I'd love it, because Johnny Portman, he's just absolutely fantastic. Mm. He's just such a... Everyone's underrated in racing these days, aren't they? Oh, underrated jockey, should get more eyes. Underrated trainer, should get better horses. Johnny Portman's very underrated, yeah, I think he's got
a
cracking
chance.
You must
have something for us, Ross, at a bigger price. Come on, throw something in. You've always got a wacky angle.
It's not what. Well, actually, I do have a wacky angle. I fancy a horse, but then the one thing I was concerned about, I then looked more into it, and the wacky angle actually made it better. But I need to find the
name of the horse.
No, I know the name of the horse. I just didn't copy the notes over from what I emailed myself to the other day. Oh, I got.
Come on, give us the name of the horse.
No, I've lost. I haven't written it there. What have I done? Anyway, look, the horse I've backed is Beckford's Folly, who won the Cornwallis last year, beat three horses who all up their form in very good races next time out, including a couple in Group 1 action over in Santa Anita. He's a proper Newmarket horse. I love the way he finished off in the final five. He's one of those... He can win over six, but he's got that back end kick over five that I really, really like. I thought they were just having a spin in the Abernet last time out. He needed his first run last year, and I was worried about was him being stuck on the wing. But then I had a look. I don't know what I've done with the stats, but basically last year I think the highest drawn horse won, then the year before the lowest drawn horse, then the year before that the highest beat the second highest. Basically, horses have been stuck on either wing, have an incredible record in this race, which kind of makes sense, I guess, doesn't it? Because everything bunches up in the middle, and horses who can get a clean run without having to duck and weave over five furlongs, I assume that's probably what's coming into it. But he just looked... I thought he was really, really good in that Cornwallis. Rumstar obviously won the Cornwallis and has gone on to win this in the past as well, so It might take him a season or two, Beckford's Folly, to properly run into form. But this has been won by Seven Questions, more prop. Dandy Man won it as a 3-year-old. So 3-year-olds have actually got a really, really good record in the past 10, 15 years. And I just, again, you know, watching the replay, Cocktail Divan, you know, that replay. Yeah, he's another one. I've watched it back twice today just to confirm that my impression at the time wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
And I just love the way he finishes race. So Beckford's Folly.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rodders? How wacky was that?
I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, only about 6. I was expecting something really ridiculous, and it wasn't really ridiculous. And I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Right. I can see it. Yeah. I mean, he loves the track, doesn't he?
All right.
Got good form at Newmarket.
If I give it an 8, I think that was pretty wacky. The old drawn on a wing stuff and all that. I mean, the horse ran like it had its legs tied together last time. Good luck with that one.
It ran to an RPR of 106. It ran £2 below last year.
It showed nothing in the Abernan. Move on. No chance.
All right. I thought you didn't like sprints.
I was joking, Ross. I was joking.
Honestly, kids these days.
He loves Goodwood.
You've got... You're owned by Godolphin, by the looks of you, tonight?
Yes, no, Reading, tonight.
You'll have it, yeah. So there you go. And...
Five ways had a chance. There's another 3-year-old for you at a big price.
Yeah, really, best chips on the high street. Oh, no, that's five guys. Sorry, you were saying five ways?
Very, very fast horse, that. It led them a merry dance in the Middle Park last year. Copple won out of that race today. I think he's very fast. Andrew Bourne's very good with sprinters. Wouldn't surprise me if he went well for a long way. Just not quite sure he'll be mentally ready for a race like this. And that's what puts me off Beckford's a bit. I'm just not sure. After that last run, I would have fancied him strongly on all you said, but for that Abernant run where he just looked a bit lethargic. I'm not sure he'll be ready for these boys.
I thought it was a really good prep. I was like, this is the perfect prep. He's been beaten three lengths. He stayed up the hill. It was perfectly fine. Cool. Which is, yeah.
Cool.
Good. Anyway, right. Should we talk about the guineas? Talk about the 2000 guineas? I think we probably should. Gustard is the 3-1 favourite for the 2026 renewal. Bit of hokey-cokey with the entries for Gustard, but he's here, or at least he is for now. Who knows? We'll happen over the next, 18 hours, however many it is. Boecho is 7-2, Distant Storm 4-1, King's Trail 8-1, Octagon is 11-1, Needle Match is 14s, Al Parslan 16s, Avicenna is 16-1. Then we've got the Secret Adversary, we've got Into the Sky, we've got Power Blue, Patrick Dawn, who's been supplemented, Venetian Prince, Bilkart, and Lord Britain as well. So again, it is a wide open 2000 guineas. Let's rattle through a few of them in terms of their chance at the top of the betting. Talk to us about Gustard, Tom.
Well, he's probably got the best form, hasn't he? He won the Coventry, he was second in the Dewhurst, and he won the Breeders' Cup, second in the Mornay as well. So everything going for him. The only problem is you're guessing on preparation, aren't you? He was in, he was out, he did the hokey-cokey, as you said. The O'Brien horses are middling at best, mm-hmm. The three-year-olds, colts so far this season. You know, a lot of them are running below par. Now, the difference between this one and a lot that run in this race is he is bred to be a miler. A lot of the O'Brien horses that come here are using it as a prep for the Derby. So I would imagine he's very clean winning. He was out very early last year, wasn't he? He won the Coventry. So I would think there's a lot going for him, but you just don't know. To win a guineas, you nearly always have to be right on your game. We've seen really good horses beaten in it because they haven't been. Mm. I don't know. I wouldn't back him at 3-1, despite him having probably the best form in the race.
All right. Boecho gives me an air of, oh, we love an extra 2 furlongs, but will that matter? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I like him, but I thought Publish was going to beat him easily at Haydock last year. Do you remember that weird race where Publish picked up, came from last to first, went past him, you thought, oh, this is a special horse, and then suddenly Boecho came back and beat him, and then I didn't really know what to make of that. I thought, well, he must be a good horse, Boecho, but he looked like he was slow because Publish went past him like he was standing still.
Yeah.
And then maybe outstayed him, maybe published down tools, I'm not really sure. He did win the Group 2, didn't he, over course and distance? But it's quite a big step up, isn't it, for Boecho, I think, anyway. He's a short price. And George Bowie, yes, he had a winner today, I think, but coming into today, he was hardly flying along. I think he was over 16 or 17 or something like that. And, you know, there's just been a few whispers that maybe, you know, this horse is not flying. Obviously, I don't always take too much notice of whispers, but when you're dealing with a horse who, shall we say, you know, we haven't seen since last winter and is going to have a long season ahead, I'm just not sure it's his day.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And again, like I said, just the impression that, and what you said about Haydock as well, the impression I gave him would like to roll at, I thought, 3-year-old, 10 furlongs, rolling along, you'll love it.
Yeah, and he looked like that when Publish went past him. Yeah. He looked quick.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Miles all right. My worry about him is just the level of the form, really.
Yeah.
You know, he might take a big step forward, but I think he needs to. Because I think, you know, beating Humidity and Action. Pacifica, whatever it's called, was a pacemaker in Dubai for some of the races.
Well,
you know,
and got beat at 4-6 today, Pacific Avenue, so...
Yeah, and then when he won at Haydock, we don't know what Publish is, do we? I mean, he looked pretty good at Sandown, but he only won a maiden. And the third horse, Cheyenne, was lapped in the Craven, wasn't he? So I just don't know about his level of form. Yeah. Look, I think he's a really good horse. I love the pedigree. Knight of Thunder is probably, as you well know, I'm very boring, but I think he's probably the best stallion around at the moment. And I think he's got a lot going for him. I don't worry about the mile. And I'm not that worried about. I remember when Dick Hearn won this with Nashwan a few years ago. He hadn't had a winner all season. But when you have a good horse,
a few years ago,
yeah, 40 years ago, whatever it was. But you know what I mean. You, when you've got a good horse, he'll have had everything trained for the minute for him. He's not an idiot, George Bowie. So I don't worry about that. Don't worry about the mile. It's just whether he's quite good enough. He might be.
Well, speaking of Knight of Thunder, then I kept coming back to this race, and I kept coming back to Distant Storm, who won one of, if not the best maidens at Newmarket last year, then did everything wrong at York, should have finished last and still managed to keep going for third. He was so keen, he basically looked like he had no idea what he was doing, then dotted up next time out at this track over seven, and then everything about him in the duos to me said, God, he'll love an extra furlong. I mean, everything on the dam side said he'll love an extra furlong. To me, he's got the perfect Guineas pedigree. He's got the perfect Guineas trainer. I don't know. I just kept looking at him and thinking, he's the most Guineas horse in here.
I think he'll be favourite. That's my prediction. I don't know if he'll win, but I think he'll be favourite for all the reasons you say there, Ross. Charlie Appleby's won the last three. He's got form on the track. I don't think he ran quite up to form in the Dewhurst. I don't know whether the race sort of never went his way, but he was incredibly impressive in that grade two before that, in that group two before that, on the over seven furlongs there. I think the mile's right. I think he should be favourite. Whether he's a superstar, the thing that it's only a niggle that puts me off is that everyone keeps telling me that King's Trail's as good as him and that William Buick had a tough decision. Now, that could be complete nonsense and it could have been the easiest choice he's ever made. But I have heard that from a few people. And if that's the case, I always think if you've got two very good ones, you probably haven't got any. And so that would be the only thing that put me off. But like you, I think he should be favourite and I think he's the most likely winner.
Yeah, and I think in a strong year, I might agree with you, but I just don't think it is a strong year. But yeah, he was also held up. I think he was just too far back in the Dewhurst, wasn't he? I mean, Gowan took Keenhole Race Centre, Gustard took Keenhole, in touch with leaders, Zavatera in touch with leaders, Oxygon, prominent press leader, Distant Storm towards near side in rear, headway from two furlongs out. He just looked like he was given too much to do and he'd want further. But let's get to the bigger prices. Is there anything at double figure odds? I mean, the ones at double figure, they're not on paper, they're not that good, but is there anything that could take a step forward?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, just going back to Distant Storm, they actually ran that in the same race that they ran Ruling Court in at York. I think it was the Acom, and then Ruling Court bombed out in the Acom, then won this, didn't he? So, yeah. You know. But again, like maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I'm used to coming into Newmarket and seeing Appleby knock this out of the park. And, you know, today he had Poseidon's Warrior beaten at odds on. He's usually up around, he's usually up around 30%, Charlie Appleby. And I think he's had one winner in. Yeah, maybe you like you say, these
Opera
will,
Ballows,
be,
I mean,
yeah, these the will be trained to the minute. I know that, you know, but, you know, it does worry me a little bit. I've backed, if you read my pin stickers guide, which somehow has made it to the front of the website today. Unfortunately for you, we've got my mug plastered all over the front of it. I backed Avicenna. I backed Avicenna when I was there. I don't know if I mentioned that. But I was there on Craven Day. And the favourite for the Craven was pulled out at the time. It was an Aidan O'Brien horse, can't remember it. And I managed to steal a bit 7-1 straight away when they went up on the new market on Avicenna. I thought, well, that's wrong. I'm not saying it was, but it was ridden like it wasn't there to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they didn't ever put the horse in the race. You know, I mean, it was out. It was the most blatant trial you're ever going to see. It was held up at the back. Oxygon jumped off in front. He had an easy lead. Avicenna came through the back, finished off really strongly, but was too far behind to ever get to Oxygon. And it was just the perfect sort of prep for a classic. Whether the form's any good, I don't know. I said to you earlier, Hasselay was five lengths faster than Oxygon over the last two furlongs on that day. So it may be that it wasn't a very strong race, but you won't see a more promising prep for a big race than that. And talking of train the form, Roger Varian's absolutely flying. So I think Avicenna will run well at big price.
All right, 16-1. What's the big price horse for you, Tom?
That one, Avicenna. Just for the simple reason that he had an interrupted preparation going into that race. It was a trial. Now, I don't know if he's good enough, but he was in my tracker the moment he finished that race at Doncaster last year when he won the Flying Scotsman, the listed race, and he beat Hankelow. It didn't look like he beat him, but he got up right on the line. It was just a race where he had no right to win. I like horses that win races when they have no right to win. Everything was against him. They were on the other side. There were no pace. They all were up front, and Hankelow went on to win a group race, and he still managed to. He took three or four lengths out of him in the last couple of furlongs, and I thought then that this is a proper group horse. Now, whether he's a group one horse, I don't know. I really don't know. But there was nothing in his Craven run to suggest that he had gone anywhere, you know, that he couldn't win, he couldn't be competitive in good races. So I just thought the prices he'll do. Now, the question I've got is whether he gets behind, because Newmarket is such a good track for rolling along, especially when the ground's fast. But you take your money, you pay your chance at 16-1. I think he'll ride him slightly differently. I think he's drawn in the middle, so he's got no problem. And I just thought at 16-1, Roger Verin, very good record in classics, funnily enough. I just get the impression people don't rate Roger Verin as highly as they should. You know, he won the 1,000 guineas, he's won the St. Ledger, he had horses placed in the St. Ledger last year, he's had horses placed in the Derby at massive prices. What was the horse that was second in the Derby at a huge price?
King of something.
Yeah.
King of Steel.
King of Steel, yeah. The old football bloke's horse. I just think he's a very good target trainer, and I think this will have been the target. And he had some good form as a 2-year-old. I mean, I liked Needle Match's run at Newbury, but he was 20-1 to win a trial, and he came fourth, and now he's 14-1 to win the Guineas. And I know Haggerston, he's by Knight of Thunder and all those sort of things. He's got potential, but I just thought Avicenna's that run at Doncaster suggested to me he's pretty good. Now whether he's Gestad good or Distance Storm good, I don't know. But at 16-1, he could be. I mean, they're not blimmin'. Can't think of this Dancing Braves, are they? This lot. That's like going back a long time, aren't they? But they're not, are they?
That's only a few years ago, wasn't it? Dick Hearn, Dancing Brave. That was just last week.
They're not El Gran Señor's, Ross.
Yeah. All right, so you're both with Avicenna then? Both, I mean, two.
I just think he's the one that could take the biggest step forward, and he's had a run. But the top three at the market there haven't had a run. Who knows what form they're in? You know that Charlie Appleby's given them, and you know they've had trials on the track and whatever, but you haven't seen them in a race, where at least Avicenna's had a run.
Well, and the key thing is none of the trainers of the top three are exactly rattling along either, are they? I mean, a lot of the O'Brien 3-year-olds have been struggling. He said George Bowie's went a while without a win until today. Charlie Appleby's only had one in the past 2 weeks. So
I'm very wary of saying that going into more days at Newmarket, because if Appleby's ever going to click into gear, like, he could easily go and have 10 winners over the next 2 days.
He could win both guineas.
Yeah, and we all sit here with egg on our face. That could happen. You know. But on what we've seen so far, his horses don't appear to be in the same form that they were at this time last year, for example. I just got to throw in one, because...
Can you make it very quick?
Very quick. Punting panel today, right? James Knight of Coral has put in a good word for Padraig Dawn, the 24-year-old trainer Charlie Pike, who I think has saddled one winner. And then, independently, Phil Anderson, who is also a tipster on my team, said, I really fancy Padraig Pike. So I'm not Padraig, whatever it's called.
Padraig Dawn for Charlie Pike.
Yeah. Now, I'm not claiming this as a tip for myself. It's James Knight and Phil Anderson's. But when I see two good judges putting up a horse that is 50-1, something like that,
66.
Trained by a trainer who's had one winner, you've got to be interested, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair enough, yeah.
I don't know anything about the horse, but, you know, that's good enough for me to good enough to make
Should
me look
Should have won
twice.
At Newcastle. That's about it. So, there you go. All right. Okay, right, now very quickly on the 1,000 guineas, Tom's selection will be available on the website from Sam. Remind me of the time, 6 p.m. Saturday, so you'll have that to look forward to. Tom's going to spend all day tomorrow going through that to pick out which one of the 19 runners he's going to go for. So, Rodders, Precise 94 at the moment, Venetian Sun 92, True Love 6-1, My Highness 8-1, The Prettiest Star 10s, Abashiri 16s, 19 fillies in the 1,000 guineas. You remembering what race it is?
Sorry, I forgot we were doing this one as well.
Very briefly,
Abashiri's in my tracker after he won at Kempton. It's interesting that she's running in this race straight out of Kempton. I am worried.
That's my favourite album.
I am worried that Charlie Appleby's form, of course. But you know, if he does bang in a load of winners on Saturday, then that would give me reason to give her a chance. And I tipped at the start of the week as Leet, didn't I, in the Nell Gwynn? Tipped as Leet in the start of the week in the Nell Gwynn. I'm not sure how strong that Nell Gwynn form is, but she likes.
Hang on, you tipped her to win the Nell Gwynn?
No, I tipped her to win the Guineas. She won the Neil Gwynn.
Yeah.
But she won that Neil Gwynn. She ran up the back of a few of them halfway. And a previous run at Newmarket, she did everything wrong and almost won. I mean, I don't know how strong the form is, but I know she's better than that bare form. So those are my two against the field. But a bit like Tom, really, I've not had a strong, you know, chance to look at this race yet. I will tomorrow.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And the annoying thing is I had Precise down last year. I thought that I'll win the 1,000 guineas. So,
yeah.
But again, 9-4 yard. I think she's the best horse in the race.
She probably
I'll watch
is.
Her win.
Probably is the best horse in the race, but it's day, isn't it? Yeah, is this a day? Is she got other days?
Well, I mean, last year, every day was a day.
Yeah.
Sometimes. One thing I'd say, guys, is that didn't Aidan O'Brien win this? Isn't three of the last four with his second string? I think that's quite interesting for just looking at the race and True Love's chances. I don't know if I'll be on True Love or whatever, but Mother Earth wasn't the first string. Hermosa wasn't the first string.
Love
and
was.
And
was
Winter.
Yeah.
But Ryan Moore only rode, hasn't ridden three of the last four winners. So I wouldn't be, I mean, I would, the one thing about Precise, she's not had a very good preparation. I know that for a fact. She missed loads of work. She's going to have to be brilliant to win this off her preparation. She might be.
So you think she's going to be imprecise on Sunday?
Well, I think they'll get much closer in the market, is what I'm saying, Precise and True Love.
I think a few of those had a run as well, hadn't they? Winter, I think, had a run. One or two more of those O'Brien horses. Yeah, like the first string was the one that was making their reappearance, and the one that won was the second string who'd had a run.
Yeah.
I think. And True Love's had a run and is the second string. So, yeah, make them that what you will.
This is what I'm making of it. It's pickling my brain. But again, that's Sunday. We've got Saturday to enjoy before all that. So, okay. Right, that's the weekend preview. Let's get the best bets from Du Bois. Starting off with fresh-faced, clean-shaven Graham Rodway's nap of the weekend.
Straight out of the Turkish. 2.55 day, isn't it? Rumstar day.
Rumstar's day. Rumstar's day. All right, Tom?
You go first, Ross. Come on.
Contiki at Goodwood for the red-hot Jane Chapel Higham. Ran a blind coronation last year, and yeah, I think this is a cracking start to the season for her.
So Rodder has nicked one of my selections. You've nicked one of my selections. What am I left? I'm only left with Erzincan. And that will be my one against LRB or whatever you boys are betting.
All right. Well, no, I appreciate you offering me first shot then. But to be fair, yeah, it was between Beckford's Folly and Contiki. So we've all done you, Tom, basically.
Yeah, completely like a kipper.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Now you're a tipper, Tom.
No,
you're a tipper. You're a top tipster, not a top kipper. Anyway, Rodders, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
What?
The rating.
Oh,
it's
right,
going to be great.
Yeah, good. And Tom, thank you.
Thanks, boys. Good fun.
And Sam and Bell, thank you. And everyone who watched at home, thank you as well. Good night. God bless.